Okay, back
We're
at it.
Back.
It's been a long time.
How long has it been?
It's been a while.
Oh.
I don't know. The last one we did would have been, we were under the gazebo. We did a couple gazebo sessions. Mm-hmm. I think it was the third one. So what would that have been? I guess like early summer, June maybe?
Maybe June.
Did we do any in July?
No.
No, right? I re-listened to that last one. Even that was a while ago now. Just to kind of refresh myself as to where we left off. We talked about school. That was like the main topic, like university, library. Started off with a library discussion. And that kind of got us into our university experience.
Okay.
Right. And, yeah. But there was nothing really where I was like, okay, this is something we need to come back to.
Right.
How have you thought about this since we last did it? Or is it basically just completely left your mind since?
No, I've thought about it a couple of times. It's not been at the forefront by any means, but I knew I would want to come back to it, and it felt like fall would be the time.
Yeah, and I was saying to you today, we really got to up our numbers so we can get a Patreon going, you know, and like start making some cash off this thing. Yeah, we're gonna have to completely change the concept. I'm trying to think of what's hot. I mean, there's like, I mean, true crime is always good. There's always going to be a demand for true crime of some sort. I feel like there was a big thing that eventually kind of became like people got onto it and it became sort of a punchline. So we can't go there anymore, which is I'm going to pick a TV show or a movie and like watch every episode of it and like comment on it.
Yeah.
That kind of became like, you know, that was an easy avenue for people to go down for a while. I remember actually me and Will had talked about doing a podcast where we were going to watch all the films of Holly Hunter. And talk about them.
What was the name of your podcast?
I can't remember if we had a name or not.
I would listen to that. I think it'd be funny.
I don't know if it'll ever happen, but Holly Hunter remains a treasure. You know what? Actually, speaking of Holly Hunter, something I learned not too long ago is that she was in some play when she was young, and the Coen brothers came to see that play, and they were just about to start their first movie, Blood Simple. And they approached Holly Hunter about being in that movie, and she had some sort of prior commitment. Or maybe the play itself interfered with it, but she had a roommate that she recommended, and her roommate happened to be Frances McDormand.
Whoa.
Yeah, such started the career of Frances McDormand and the relationship of her and Joel Coen? Ethan Coen? One of the Coen brothers that she's married to, whichever one it is.
Wowee.
Yeah.
I wonder what she'd be like as a roommate.
Frances McDormand?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Probably different now than Frances McDormand and Holly Hunter in their early 20s as roommates, but who knows? But nonetheless, she's a great actor. Thankfully, things went that way, or we would have had no Frances McDormand in her life. She's just been some struggling theater actor.
Should we maybe set the scene?
Okay.
It's kind of like a special comeback.
Right. In a couple ways. In one, that this is where we recorded our first podcast. I feel like we've had a couple like special podcasts here, including our very first one was out at
out at the lake. At my mom's cabin. Have not been here. We also have no child with us. It's the first time in probably close to 4 years that Chad and I have been out here, just the two of us.
And some generous babysitters.
Yeah, I mean, it was really no different than
that's true.
Otherwise, because we left in the week on a Thursday, and it's Friday today, and we'll come back tomorrow.
This is the first time we've done it. We're sitting outside by the fire.
Yes.
What we're guessing is probably the first time this fire pit has been used.
I think so. Yeah.
At this lake.
Yeah.
Which is so far seeming like a good choice. You might hear it crackling here and there in the background. And we're staring out at the lake, and it's just a nice scene.
Yeah,
pretty for doing
ideal
this.
Fall.
Mm-hmm. I remember back when I was doing Take a Seat, there was a handful that I did kind of out in nature or out in some sort of a setting, and I always kind of enjoyed that. It could be distracting at times.
Yeah.
I mean, at least here, there's no, like, risk of, like, people walking by and distracting us. Whereas there was a couple I did where that was on the table. I remember the one I did with Dave Workington. It was in a quarry. It was like a ravine, but it was like pitch black. We were like up in like, we like scrambled up a hill and just kind of found a log to sit on in the woods. But it was late at night. So we were like in the dark doing gin shots and recording up there. That was fun though. I mean, it always kind of added an extra element to, you know, have an interesting setting on top of
definitely
the interview itself. But yeah, feels good to be back. Hopefully some people listen. As far as listenership check-in, because I'm sure everybody really cares about that. But like, it took a while. We had a couple like real, those last few episodes, it dipped. But then like, it's like all of a sudden, kind of over the summer, slowly, people started listening again.
And, oh, really?
And the numbers came up again, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it just like dipped and I was like, well, whatever.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's just one of those things where like, even from our friends, it's a lot of commitment to expect anybody to like listen to our bullshit every week. So, you know,
it was nice. During COVID for people, right. Like, cause it's nice.
COVID and winter, you know,
and like, winter. Yeah. You don't see people and then you hear their voices and that's kind of a nice thing. Were you ever into water sports? I'm just looking out at the lake and there's a kayak. And then it just
those got, kind of water sports.
No, not more getting, adventurous waters. Like,
not getting, no, but not getting like pissed on and stuff.
Oh. Well, either way.
No. That one, no.
Either.
I mean, I was into, like, I like tubing, like when I, you know, was.
Would that be considered a water sport?
I mean, sport is a real stretch, I guess.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking, like, did you ever water ski or wakeboard?
Well, I mean, I did a little bit of water skiing. I was pretty late to it, considering just, like, the vibe out at my family's cabin. There was a lot of kids. And, you know, it was one of those places where everybody kind of learned to water ski pretty young. And I was resistant to it. I was similar, I think, to Lou in, like, my kind of, like, I wanted to stand back and observe and, like, was very hesitant to, like, try something new with all eyes on me kind of thing, right. You know, like I wanted to make sure I could do it right the first time everybody was watching sort of thing. But I eventually came to it and did a little bit of water skiing, not a ton. Wakeboarding, I only did once. It was like, you know, spent an hour or so just trying to get up, finally got up and then like did a couple turns and
yeah,
by that point I was so exhausted and was done with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I ever went again. Maybe, you know, maybe the next day, once I was like, okay, I've got the hang of it, I think I maybe went up one more time. But I never got, like, skilled at the wakeboarding.
Gotcha.
You?
No.
No?
No. The lake that we would go to was my mom's friend's place in West Hawk. And they had a boat that could take people, like tubing or water skiing or whatever. And I remember trying wakeboarding once, but I was given no instruction. And so I'm just in the water holding on to the line and like that's it. And then I'm just like getting dragged and I hated it. And like, it didn't like, I needed someone to say, okay, do this with your body and your legs. Right. You know what I mean? And I just, it did not come naturally. And then I was just way too angry and frustrated and was like, fuck this.
Takes a good teacher. Like there's a lot of things I've encountered in my life where I've had so many people like half explain to me and suspect that there's like a key, a little trick, you know, that they're not giving up in the info, and then you finally have the one person who's like, oh yeah, do this, and then like that just unlocks it for you and you're like, why the fuck didn't the 10 people before say that thing, you know? And like, it's, I'm sure, not malicious for the most part, but it's just kind of like a, when you're good at something or like you have something mastered, you don't necessarily think about it and think about like what the mental process would be for a newcomer.
Yeah,
but
I do understand like the appeal. Like, I think it would be really fun to water ski.
Mm-hmm.
I like being on the water a lot. I would like to canoe and kayak more. That's one of my future goals.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I in general prefer being in the water, you know, like we were talking about like floaties, you know, like sort of blow up floaty. I'm just gonna like hang out floating on the water, and that's never really appealed to me, like, because you still get kind of like cold, like, I guess depending on the floaty, like if it's one where you're like your ass hangs down into the water a little bit, like if it's got a bit of give to it, then you're still getting kind of the water cold thing going. And it just seems like boring. Like, I mean, I'm always like, when I'm at the beach, like I'm prefer to like go in the water than just like lay on the sand all day too, you know? So I guess it's similar. It's a similar vibe. But yeah, I'd always like prefer to just be like swimming than floating atop the water.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem much different than...
It totally is, though. It's a different feeling when you're out.
Well, you get like you bob, I guess.
I know. And also just something about like looking at land.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different than just like chilling and hanging out. I don't know. I like a floaty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm in the minority. It seems like a lot of people really like floating on a floaty. And yeah. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's like, it's just not what I would prefer most of the time. And I mean, I guess like a kayak and stuff can be nice in the same way as like a, you know, a bike or something. Like, it's just a quicker way to get to your destination on water. Like,
Not even having a destination, just farting around.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it doesn't need to be but like as far as just checking things out and stuff.
My massage therapist was telling me a story that sounded so fun. Her and her partner went and put their canoe in the river, I think around the U of M somewhere, and then they took some mushroom capsules. And she's like, it took us 8 hours to paddle home to, I think, Wolseley area. But she said they just laughed their asses off the whole time, and it sounded super fun.
Yeah, could definitely be fun. I mean, and mushrooms definitely came on the table at some point this year. I don't know. Yeah, it might be a while until I'm like there.
Same.
Because we just listened to Seth Rogen's book on audiobook, and there's a part in there about how mushrooms versus acid, where it's like with mushrooms, you're the passenger, and acid, you're the driver. And not ready to be a passenger in that ride right now.
Yeah, me too. That's the thing that like, the relinquishing of the control is just too much.
Right now, for sure.
But also, like, man, just taking them willy-nilly, you know, decade and a half ago. Also, like, you know, anything that could be going on in your head is so much different than what would be going on in our heads now.
Right. Yeah, it's been an especially mentally and emotionally taxing year that, like, to then like process that with mushrooms. It's like, it seems exhausting.
Yeah. Do you remember when we took mushrooms and the highlight?
1 second. Sorry, go on. I was just putting a log on the fire.
When we did mushrooms and the highlight of it was remembering every so often that we were going to order pizza after. It was so high. I remember being really offended by the we asking for my like height and weight to make the me. And
I mean, it was so silly too, because it wasn't like you got so offended by the like rating it gave you or whatever, but you got off before it even gave the weight, so then I got on, so it was your height combined with my weight, and that was what was giving your like whatever, like what kind of rating. I mean, the whole thing is a little weird in retrospect, but I mean, for you to be personally offended by how things played out
in that instance. Mushrooms, okay. Give me a break.
Yeah, that was a good time. Yeah, we got very high, played Wii. We were like still fairly early in our relationship.
Yeah, and then just be like, oh, we get pizza later.
Yeah, we were like, because we were planning to order pizza.
Yeah, that was great.
And we were having lots of fun. And to think that the cherry on that sundae was getting to pound some pizza later. Yeah. This is another thing I was thinking of when we were listening to Seth Rogen's book. Did I say Seth Rogen last time?
I think so.
Okay. There's something about like food, eating on drugs.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I was out and I did mushrooms with Jamil and Jade. Jamil didn't do any, but Jade and I did, and the three of us were hanging out, and the night ended early. Jamil ended the night early. So then I was like head full of mushrooms, found myself back in my home, my parents' home, where they were like, they were sleeping. And I was like trying to just process, you know, being like awake in my parents' home and trying to be quiet and stuff, like with just like so high.
How old were you?
19, I think, 18 or 19. 18, I think, actually. Yeah, so I just remember like watching, turning on like Much Music. I think The Wedge was on, watching like the Cure love song video. And then I was like, I want to eat something. And which is weird because like normally on mushrooms, I just like don't want to eat. And then, so there was like a frozen cheesecake thing in the freezer. And I like took it out and started eating it. And it was so cold and I could feel it. Like the cold, like this like lump of cold going all the way down my, like down my esophagus.
Oh,
and it's like, I could just feel my body like processing like just this, yeah, this cold globule as it like made its way through my system. It was so unpleasant. And I can just remember like sitting at my dining room table, like just staring at the wall, just like being like, why am I doing this to myself? And then like taking another bite and feeling it again. And it was just altogether unpleasant.
Yeah, it sounds awful. Like, what kind of cheesecake was it?
It was like the kind, it's like on the recipe for, it's on the wrapper for Cool Whip. It's like the, like, I think they call it like Philly Freeze or whatever. It's like, it's like cream cheese, Cool Whip, and frozen like juice concentrate.
Oh, man.
Mixed together. And then you pour that slop over top of
graham cracker
or Oreo crust, Oreo. Like whatever, depending on like what's going to pair better with the flavor. Like I remember doing, like we did like a lime one with like graham cracker.
Yeah.
Or we'd sometimes do like a berry one with the Oreo one. That would be pretty good. So I think it was, Oreo with like berry that particular night.
Did you have a lot of those kinds of desserts growing up? Like the off the package recipes?
I think so.
Yeah.
Probably. Or, well, I mean, just even going through my mom's drawers and stuff, like they weren't necessarily off of like a package like that, but they would, it would be from like, you know, like it would be like the Philadelphia cookbook and it'd be like a little like pamphlet thing of like 10 pages with like, you know, a few recipes in it. So they were, you know, from the brands. I can remember the Eagle brand fudge, like Eagle, yes.
Condensed milk.
Sweet, yeah. Condensed milk. Yeah. I can remember. Yeah. We would make that fairly often. And I even did a science fair project on chocolate and made that for like,
what was your judges project? Did you have a whole like hypothesis about chocolate?
Oh, probably not. I mean, I was like in grade like 3 or something, you know, like it was just like, this is what chocolate's made of.
Yeah.
This is how it's harvested. And like, this is the difference between the different kinds of chocolate. And it wasn't overly advanced, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember all my stuff. I remember I did one on colors.
Yeah.
I did one on pollution, and I did one on chocolate. The chocolate one I did with a friend. I can't really. I think I did one on special effects. Those are the only ones I can remember.
I remember doing a project on owls, probably in grade 6 or 5. And I did one on prednisone.
Oh.
In grade 9. And there's a photo of me, and I just look like a miserable little bitch, which I was. It's pretty funny.
At least you
maybe changed. That was grade 10. Yeah, and I don't really remember any other ones that I did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I did one every year of elementary, but I'm kind of blanking on what the other ones were.
You got a real migration of geese.
Mm-hmm. Have we ever talked about on here? I'm sure you probably have. The time we were like baked out of our face and all the geese landed in formation for us
like
on the water.
Synchronized swimmers coming in for their show.
Yeah.
It was magnificent.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. I think we've probably talked about that, though.
Do you really think it was as great as it was? Like if you were a sober person, would it have been as like uniform and perfect as it is in our minds?
I kind of think, yeah. And I have a handful of those kind of things that have happened, like, when I'm high. But I'm like, I bet that was, like, probably weird, even if I wasn't high. Like, like I remember this one, I still, to this day, don't really know what happened. But there was a time both Greg and I were looking at these horses that used to be across the road from him before the road that his family lived on got like more developed. There used to be like directly across his driveway. It was like somebody who had horses. So we would like get high and go sit and like just look at the horses while we were drinking beers. And then all of a sudden we both just started fucking running at the same time. And like we both thought so that these bizarre. horses were charging at us. And we were like, fuck. And we booked it. And then we turned around and the horses were just like standing there, like not doing it. Like, I don't know what we both saw.
Yeah.
But like,
obviously something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's very strange. Like, without hesitation, like both of us were just like, fuck.
And no
like,
words,
just
ran. Right?
Yeah. No, nothing. Just ran.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. Okay, we're back. We stopped down for
Chad just
whiz and wine.
Served up the largest glass of wine. So we'll see how this goes.
Well, I mean,
I'm just going to pound it right now.
You don't need to pound it. Yeah, go for it.
Cheers.
Ching. Okay, let's actually cheers. We haven't cheers down here yet.
I feel like every time we cheers on dink. Here, they're always just a real...
They don't quite have the. Well, I should have brought that crystal.
Those crystal glasses,
that would have gave us the ding. Well, when we record it at home, we'll have something out of the crystal.
Sure. Yeah. There's what, two champagne flutes?
Mm-hmm. And then two or maybe four, like just like cocktail glasses.
Right.
Whatever you call those.
I do like the champagne flutes. They look so fancy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did my like deep dive on like whether it's actually safe to drink out of lead crystal or not, and it seems like probably.
I mean, all the other things that we unknowingly ingest.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's have a little lead, you know.
I mean, you know, lots of people drink out of crystal, and
I like this wine. Okay.
Yeah, just easy drinking.
It is easy drinking, Copper Moon. Out of the box. What is this one, a Merlot?
I don't know. Maybe something like that. We're going to maybe watch Sideways later too.
Oh, yeah, right.
I was apparently like the effect that had on Merlot sales. Like it just like devastated them.
Really?
Because when he's like, I'm not drinking any fucking Merlot. And then also the rise in Pinot Noir sales because of it. Like it had like a huge effect on the wine market.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been on a wine tour?
No.
Me neither.
No. I like kind of went through the Napa Valley in California and we like thought about it, but then just didn't have the time. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah.
Because just everything just takes longer than you expect.
Right.
Traveling through California. Like, and, yeah. So didn't
I think that would be interesting. Greg and Reka have gone, right?
I think they've done kind of in the Niagara Falls kind of region. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Greg actually said he picked up some really good wine last time
that's
he went
right.
somewhere. Yeah.
Wasn't he going to like save a bottle or something?
So he said something about that, yeah. Greg, are you listening?
Greg.
Don't drink that wine. We're coming for it. It's something I was thinking about earlier, and maybe it'll be a dead end because your answer might just be no.
Oh boy, okay.
Would you be interested
in some water sports?
A couple fellas I met down the road. A couple burly Swedes. No, were magazines ever a part of your life?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
What was your magazine journey?
My magazine journey was the very, I believe, typical teen magazines and like...
Cosmo?
Cosmo for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was probably the one.
Did you cut stuff out of the Cosmos?
I believe I did. I used some stuff eventually as I progressed through, like, I think like grade 9, I got really into making collages in art class with like a bunch of different materials and stuff. And I would, anyways, obviously cut stuff out of there. Also, National Geographic. I think that's, we maybe had a subscription or something.
Like you as a family.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
Reader's Digest. I think my mom would often get that, or maybe it was my grandma. I don't know if that qualifies as a magazine.
Sort of. I mean, those were around sometime. I don't think anybody in my family like had a subscription, but like they would. I think my mom would buy them. I think my grandma too would buy them sometimes. They like had a weird kind of like Christian like angle to them, right?
Probably, but I like them because they always included one animal story of some kind.
Oh, okay. I always went to the like laughter, the best and the medicine. Jokes. Yeah.
And that. Those are really the only kind of two things I would read. I do believe at some point when I was doing horseback riding, I briefly had some sort of horse magazine subscription.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and 17 magazine.
17, right.
Yeah. So it's probably 17 first and then Cosmo.
And you didn't decorate your like bedroom walls with...
I think I probably did. My mom, that's one thing that I really liked that she did and plan on doing for our child, although it will be difficult for me to give up the controllers, but just she let me do whatever the fuck I wanted in my bedroom, paint it whatever color I wanted, like whatever. Mm-hmm. I remember when I had, it was wallpapered when I was a baby and it wasn't offensive. It was just like blue clouds and then the banner was animals in hot air balloons. Mm-hmm. Or border, rather. But then when I got too old for that, I just started like writing stuff on the walls and like using other paint and like putting handprints and my friends would come over and write stuff. And
that's fun.
Yeah.
I remember having friends who like had that too. I had one friend who had kind of like a, in his basement had like a secret kind of like cubby hole, like room, and anybody could like write on the walls in there.
Yeah. So, it was like, I liked that. That really like has stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And then I remember wanting to paint it green, but like lime green. And I was probably 18.
That makes sense. Late 90s, trading spaces days, like lime green was hot.
It was a big thing. However, I remember being hungover one day and I couldn't stay in my room. The color was just nauseating. I had to go and sleep in my mom's bed because it was too much.
Yeah. Well, I remember Trish had like a lime green kitchen.
It's so intense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit much. But that was, yeah, I feel like that was, those kind of colors, like that lime green or like orange, those kind of colors were like, that was a real, like, I feel like the influence of Trading Spaces was strong. And even if you didn't watch it, like it had like a real, you know, people did horrible sponge painting and like.
Yeah. I think I did sponge painting too, but not with a sponge, with a plastic bag.
Yeah, yeah. There's all those techniques.
Yeah. I think maybe only on one wall. Yeah. So my room was always my domain. Mm-hmm. It was filthy. Like I look at pictures I have and like it was so filthy.
Yeah.
The carpet. Like it was just so like, I don't think my mom ever went in there.
Oh, I mean mine too. Mine, yeah.
And it was just, but it's, I mean, it's cool to have your own space. Mm-hmm.
I definitely like so many of like the girls in my life when I was young, whether they were like just, you know, friends or girlfriends, had ads from magazines like wallpapering their walls, you know?
Like of guys like Calvin Klein.
Well, it depended.
Ads and stuff.
Yeah. So there was like two vibes. There was like, depending on like how kind of like outwardly these young girls like wore their horniness, like it would either be like dudes showing off their abs or it would just be like any old like Calvin Klein perfume ad or like or whatever, you know. I feel like in my like teens, like Kate Moss loomed large.
Oh yeah,
she was just, you know, she was just like on every girl's wall, like she was just there, like
what an realistic role model to have plastered all over your walls.
Yeah.
Have you, can I just stray from the topic slightly?
Okay.
Have you always been good with words? Like phrases like how they outwardly wore their horniness?
Oh, I don't know.
Like you say things like that often. Like just...
I don't know.
I don't, you know?
I don't really think about it too much.
Sorry.
Sorry. No, but I was just thinking about like, yeah, the like Kate Moss. She represented like kind of like she was like an outlaw or something like that. Like she had like a vibe, you know, like the kind of weird heroine-y kind of thing.
Yeah.
Beyond like beauty and weird, you know, kind of like body standards and stuff. Like she just seemed like trouble and like kind of like influenced the vibe of like it was like Kate Moss, Kurt Cobain. There were like these like figures of like rebellion that I feel like hung heavy over like my youth. I also feel like from that, thinking about it, 'cause so many of them are like cologne and perfume and perfume ads and stuff. Like, did you wear perfume when you were young?
I would sometimes go into my mom's room, and for some reason, I always felt I had to sneak it. And I'm sure my mom would like not given a shit at all. But remember, you might not, but the Body Shop used to sell those little like perfume oils in stubby round bottles with like a black kind of cap. And then you could dab it on your finger. Like,
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So she would have those. So I would take that. But I'll tell you a funny story about those perfume ads. So they'd have that like little peel out piece, like this strip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you could like, yeah.
You could smell it. And so there was one day I went home for lunch. My sister was home. And I think that she was maybe cooking some like fish fingers or something. And I was with a friend. And whatever it was pungent. And we went back to school and smelled our clothes. And we smelled like fish. This is like not cool in what grade six. Once we put our underwear back on, it was fine. And we like panicked because you're 12, people are awful, and we come back stinking like fish.
Yeah.
So we both pretended to be sick and have headaches and go to the office into the little like area where like the sick kids went. Mm-hmm. But we stopped at the library first and grabbed some magazines and took those pull out pieces and like rub them all over us. But I don't know what's worse, like smelling like four different horrible cologne samples or fish.
I mean, I think the combo is the problem. Like the problem is the illusion that it might cover it up and not just like mingle with it. Yeah. I for a while was like, I had Eternity. That was like my one in like junior high or early high school, maybe. I can remember like all my friends, like every guy I knew had like some kind of cologne that they wore. And
CK1?
Yeah, CK1 was like, that was a vibe. Like, that was all part of that. Like when I was in junior high, that was part of the whole Kate Moss kind of that world. Yeah. CK1 for, you know, a man or a woman. I still remember when Rob Villar, when we had the Christmas, this ugly sweater party, like, exchange thing, and I remember him like writing on the Facebook like invite page for it. He's like, I've got a gift that'll be great for any man or woman that shows up or whatever. And it was like, and then it was his gift was CK1. Like he had a bottle of CK1, and I thought it was so funny, and like nobody else really seemed to like get like how funny it was. And I was fully on board with Rob Lars'
come up
gift
now quite a few times over the last 2 days. We'll have to. Does anybody know?
Let him know to listen to this. He can be horrified that we've been talking about him this week.
Not talking about him, but just just reminiscing about good times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of good times with Rob.
Yeah.
Fun guy.
So if anybody knows how Rob is,
hit us up at arisachad2018@gmail.com.
That's right.
But like I feel like there's like a real sentiment now among like most people of like, ugh, like cologne, like I hate any sort of like scent or anything that I think really was brought on more than anything by the like Axe overload, like the Axe body spray, like guys dusting themselves from like toe to nose, like with Axe, and it can really, you know, it can be a real problem. You smell like a young kid who's like put on too much cologne, and it can be a problem. But I feel like, I still feel like cologne can smell good, even when it's like kind of bad. There's like something, I was thinking about, there's like a girls episode where like Marnie and, what's his name? He becomes like roommates with Lena Dunham's character. He was like her ex-boyfriend, but then he turns out to be gay.
Oh yeah, I don't remember.
But they like, but then like him and Marnie have sex that one time. And then he's like saying that it was like, she smelled like cigarettes and gum or something like that. And like, there's just like all these things that played together to like where you just couldn't resist.
Yeah.
And whatever the line is, I can't remember it now, but at the time it just really like rang true for me. Like that specific smell of like somebody smelling like smoke and like mint gum or something like that just takes me back to like a, you know, high school, junior high kind of thing. And the same thing with like cologne where, like there can be something, intoxicating about it, even if it's like slightly off-putting. Like, I can't remember how I got to that. That was like a big part of the ad, like the things that were on all the like girls' walls were these like, it was often women. Like it would be like, we were talking about this, the 90s batch of supermodels. Like I remember it was Christy Turlington in the Eternity ads, always like on like a beach with like sand, her and like some, you know, 5 o'clock shadow dude, like with sand on her and sometimes with a sweater.
Listen to you.
I just remember them because they were like in every girl's room, like, and then there was like, I can't remember who the escape ones were, but it was all those black and white.
I'm just getting
Calvin Klein
glimpse into 15-year-old Chad Spank Bank.
these weren't Spank Bank.
No,
these were just like, they were a curiosity. They were like the things that was like, why does every girl I know put these up on their wall?
Interesting. Is it Linda Evangelista in the Chris Isaac video? We could.
No, that's Helena Christensen.
Helena, okay, right.
But so on the Spank Bank topic.
Yeah.
So like I had like different, like I basically like magazines were a big part of my life, like for a long time. Like I, when I was a kid, like elementary school, I got WWF magazine when I was into wrestling. Then from there, it moved on to like football magazines. I remember like the first football magazines I really liked that my dad had them, and then I started wanting them every year. There would be, I think it was called like the Lindy's Pro Football Yearbook or something like that. And it was very like stats based, like for like upcoming year, it would like tell you like all the new drafts and like what you know, stats were in college they went to and all this kind of stuff. And I got that. And then I got into like car magazines, Motor Trend and Road and Track and stuff like that. And then
I thought for a second you said Rodent Track.
I think this happened like, before on that? The same on the podcast. Rodent Track.
That sounds amazing. Sorry.
That'll be our next podcast. That'll be our real moneymaker. That's gonna be our Patreon episodes, the Rodent Track.
Yeah.
But then anyways, getting to the first subscription I had was Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
Sports Illustrated was like you got two a month. So like your subscription would pile up quickly. And I had Sports Illustrated subscription for years. And before, like, you know, like in the early years, like I was excited for every issue for the most part that would come out. Even though I wasn't like, football was my main sport. I wasn't a big hockey or baseball or basketball fan. I followed them all a little bit and would read about kind of their the big stories. But the other thing that you would get is you would get the swimsuit issue every year. And that was always exciting for a young boy.
Yeah. Like a horn dog.
And I remember like that was like the batch of like Tyra, Heidi, Rebecca Romijn, like that. And I remember like Tyra Banks in like when she was on Fresh Prince was like no bigger babe. And then like when it was like all of a sudden she became like swimsuit model. And it was like, that was all exciting.
That was Spank Bank material. I remember one of the first gifts that I got you was a GQ subscription.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So GQ, that, you know, I started reading those, GQ, Esquire. I read a lot of like music magazines, Rolling Stone, Spin, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I would get Vice. Like one of the big Vice. I never really did the Vice thing.
No.
Was that a big thing for you?
No, but I remember my sister having a couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were like, I remember like if there was a Vice around, I always got like a bit of a kick out of it. But it always had a bit of a try-hard kind of like cruel vibe to it. I don't know. There was something about like Vice that like it was like titillating in the way that they intended it to be. But it also was like eye-rolly at the same time, you know, like is how I kind of felt about it, you know. Yeah. So yeah, I don't think I ever bought a Vice. But like there would be the odd time where I would buy like, you know, like there was like the expensive magazines. Like there's like, you know, the regular ones, but then just like the kind of like intense like fashion magazines that people spend like $20 on a single issue and stuff. And I had a handful of those kind of things. So there was like something that really, you know, like there was like an interview with somebody I cared about, like or something, you know, like I would buy a few of those. And that was a whole other level of magazine and the intense kind of quality of those, you know, thicker paper and all that kind of stuff.
The paper is a real giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different shades of blue happening right now with the lake and the horizon and the clouds, and it's wild.
Risa decided to take some mushrooms.
Acid, man. I want to be in the driver's seat.
What are we out here? Oh, what's going on?
Oh.
No, it's good. It's good. It's just the light was...
Oh, phew.
I know. It looked like the screen was black. I thought maybe our...
That would have been disappointing. Would you throw another log on, please?
Yeah, I should do that, right?
Yeah. Okay. I thought that you were going to stop at that one tiny dinky one. That's probably good. One more. Yeah.
I thought of a question.
Okay.
About around the Spank Bank topic.
All right.
So there was a little while after we did the last podcast where we almost had like some unrecorded podcasts where we went for some cruises because we sort of went through a transition period with Luella's sleeping where she went from like not napping. And then there was kind of like a few times where we just needed her to take a nap. And so we went for some long cruises. And then on the way, Reese and I would just have these like long conversations. And one of the things we did on a few of those drives was who would you rather, like where we'd give each other a pair of celebrities and it was just kind of
I really enjoy doing that.
Who would you rather have sex with of these two people? But then, so separate from that, there was like you were saying something that like at that in your you know when you were young in that kind of early or mid 90s kind of era, there was no bigger babe than Gavin Rossdale. So I was just wondering because I also know you were into Eddie Vedder. Between those two, who would win out?
Like when I was
at that point, yeah.
Gavin Rossdale.
Still Gavin
because
Rossdale.
Because he had the accent.
Yeah, he was a little prettier too,
and
right?
He was like prettier, yeah. And he's probably a little younger.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eddie Vedder had that rough, like kind of like soul patch thing at that point too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flavor Saver.
Oh, I should grow one of those. Okay. But he was still up there, though, like, despite...
Eddie Vedder? There,
yeah. Or was it more just a musical thing with
I think
him?
With him, it was more his voice.
Yeah, the baritone.
Yeah, I like that. I like the, like, growly, too, you know, mm-hmm. growly voice. I think out of even over Gavin Rossdale, though... Maybe not. I was going to say Daniel Johns, but I don't think so. I think it was just the music for them.
Yeah.
Like their music won out over everything.
Well, he was definitely more age appropriate.
He was definitely more age appropriate. I think I found the drummer cuter, though.
Yeah. I can't picture the drummer. The drummer had short hair, right?
I believe so. Yeah. Maybe even a shaved head. Right. I was like really into shaved
heads. Yeah, I can picture. Yeah, you like, anytime I mention shaving my head, you're like, just because I have a big head.
Do not suit a shaved head at all.
Yeah.
A shaved head has to be like a specific kind of guy too.
Yeah.
You are not, thankfully. But like, you know, 20-year-old Reese is different.
Yeah. But then you also did like a couple long hairs though. Like you were into Chris Pontius, right?
And yes.
He was like a grease ball.
I know. But it's just his whole vibe. Like he just seems, I don't know, funny and a doofus and so cute. Still, to this day, I think he's adorable. Maybe not now. I don't know what he looks like now. But
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Probably better than Bam Margera. Cause like a...
Oh, yeah. He used to be cute, like way back.
I mean, yeah, he had that specific kind of, like, he definitely, like, leaned into, like, the pretty boy thing more than any of them, though. Like, the rest of them were, like, more comfortable with just being a greaseball. Well, I mean, I guess Johnny Knoxville kind of had his, like, slick, kind of rockabilly-ish kind of thing going on. But the rest of them were just, like, dirtbags.
Can't beat a dirtbag sometimes.
Yeah. Usually down for a good time. You got anything?
I'm excited to watch the new Jackass movie.
Yeah. Fucking watch these 50-year-olds launch themselves with cannons and
shit. I'm so curious about how it's going to be watching it being so much older and also them being so much older.
I remember when like the last one came out, there was a lot of conversation about like the fact that they were like too old to still be doing this. Yeah. And now it's like... been like almost 10 years
like
probably.
Is it just gonna be like pathetic or is it gonna be funny? I don't know.
I don't know. And I mean like I feel like a lot of them are probably at different stages with their sobriety and stuff,
yeah,
except for Bam Margera, and that's why he's not a part of it. And it's like, yeah, it's almost like you almost feel more comfortable because he got like fired off of it or something.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Know, yeah, because of his drinking and whatever else.
What?
And like he's just kind of in rough shape. I don't know why I know all this about the Jackass guys, but I also listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff.
I brought Wild Boys out here last time I came. Yeah. And I guarantee you, I would think that shit is still hilarious.
Oh, probably is, yeah. I was not a big Jackass fan at first because I compared it with Tom Green, and I was such a big Tom Green fan. And like I felt like maybe on some level that he was like, it was more fratty, you know? Like Tom Green seemed more, like, I don't know, like arty in some way or something. Like it was just like, it was much more like silly and like it was for the dorks or something, you know, whereas like Jackass always seemed like they were the cool kids or something, you know. Yeah. But it's kind of undeniable once you watch some of it, like it's just you know, they just do some fucking stupid shit, like it's pretty funny.
I mean, somebody farting into a tube that leads to somebody else wearing like a scuba helmet. Like, who comes up with that?
I never saw any of that. Did you see any of them in the theater?
No, it wasn't that much of like a,
I think probably the most outrageous, like that kind of thing in a theater of just like people just losing it was Borat, seeing Borat in the theater.
Like, oh, yeah. Losing it in a good way?
Like, oh, laughing? In a good way. Yeah. Like people just like, dying with laugh. Like, you know, like that, I don't know if I'll ever experience that again. Like, you know,
there's something
just, like,
about that too. Like a large, like a group of people in that environment all, like collectively enjoying one thing.
Yeah. So I remember going with like a big group of Sobeys coworkers and stuff. We all went to it together. And yeah, it was just like people were like shaking in their seats. Like just like, yeah, it's a good feeling. I remember Step Brothers was like, it, not to the same degree, but I remember going with Will and we were both pretty stoned. And I just remember like just the fun of that, of like just everybody just like cackling and then just, yeah, even like we watched Dodgeball yesterday. It doesn't like, I mean, it's all right. Like there's definitely some funny parts. I mean, some of it sucks. Like it's like a mixed bag. Like, yeah. I mean, some of the stuff doesn't age well. But like even beyond that, like not just from like a whatever like sexist perspective, but just like it's just like some of the jokes are a little corny now. Like the whole pirate thing like just feels a little like,
yeah,
lame now, you know, like, which I don't know how that played then. It was probably got bigger laughs then, but I remember seeing that in the theater and I feel like people were laughing pretty hard at that.
Do you remember when me and you and Will went to go see a movie in the theaters and what movie that was? Did that happen or did I just like make,
which
that
Will
up?
Grossburn or
getting really stoned,
could be,
and it would have been pretty early on in our relationship.
It's entirely possible.
I wonder.
I remember us ending up at the same movie as Will Belford. We didn't go with him, but like it ended up being that me and you and then somebody that he worked with at WestJet were like the only people in the theater. That was The Whackness.
I don't even remember. I remember that title, but I couldn't tell you what it's about.
It's got Ben Kingsley. I can't remember too much about it. But yeah. I don't know. There's a good chance that happened, but I
do can't you remember the first movie you ever saw in the theater?
It might have been Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, maybe.
That'd be fun.
Maybe some. There might have been something before that. There's like a few kind of kid memories I have. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Lion King. There's like a double feature of Lion King and Angels in the Outfield.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, for both of those, we, like, got there kind of late. So we were, like, in the, like, the front section. Joe versus the Volcano I actually saw when I was pretty young, too. Like, I remember seeing that when I was a kid.
In theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, I think that came out in 88 or 89. So, like, I was probably, like, 6 or 7 when I first saw that. I remember going on a birthday to go see, it was a Hulk Hogan movie. It was either Mr. Nanny or Suburban Commando. I can't remember which one. I think it was Mr. Nanny.
I've never seen either of those.
Oh, you're missing out.
The only time I remember going to see a movie for a birthday was Sheena's birthday. I think she was 15 and we all went to go see Armageddon.
Mm.
And then I just like sobbed at the end.
Yeah. I didn't see that until like much later. I remember wanting to see it like when it was in theaters and then somebody like told me what the ending was.
Oh, rude.
Yeah. And then when I finally saw it, it was like too long after and like I felt kind of like a little corny, you know, like I still like was like all right, but I think I probably would have enjoyed it more like when I, you know, was young.
Yeah. I remember going to see I Am Sam. Did you ever see that movie?
No. It may be after, but yeah. I feel like that's one that hasn't aged well.
No, probably not. I've seen that a lot of times, but I went to go see it in the theater with my high school boyfriend and my friend, the exchange student from Brazil. Mm-hmm. And both of them were just like,
yeah.
I also remember when Fern Gully came out. I'm not sure how old I would have been, but I was super excited to go and see it. And I remember my mom doing laundry, me going down into the basement, and there was a red pen. And I wrote on the countertop, when are we going to Fern Gully? This red pen. And it was like, it was there forever. I mean, that's obviously, funny. You know, it was
I don't
like
know if I saw Fern Gully in the theater. I mean, I definitely watched Fern Gully a lot. I remember like Batty, like Robin Williams. My name is Batty. My logic is erratic. We'll have to show that
one to Lee probably soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that being like one of the first like kind of like environmental themed like movies that I ever watched. Yeah. Yeah. Did you go to the drive-in much when you were a kid?
Yes. I remember going with my mom to go and see the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, the drive-in?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That was a fun one to
see.
That's like
an intense movie to be like, normally like they keep it pretty tame at the drive-in, but like, yeah, that's pretty like.
I want to say 13. I'm not sure if that tracks or not, but I feel like I was 13.
That can't be right.
No.
No, no, no. No, because I can remember.
Maybe 17?
Probably 17. Okay. You were probably 17. Because I think we were like 18 when we were out at the cabin. And like all of us were like afraid.
I just blew my cover.
Afraid
to like. I'm 43. Damn it.
Yeah, we were. It was like me and Adam and Jamil and Anra. And we were like afraid. Nobody even wanted to sleep by themselves. Because like this is like. Yeah, like when Blair Witch like just came out. And it was like combined with like some creepy shit that had happened out at my cabin with our neighbors and stuff. And yeah, I'm trying to remember the first drive-in movie I ever saw. I have a few, but I feel like they were all kind of ones I saw when I was older. I can remember for some reason a lot of the like the second feature.
Oh, right, because they'd always do two.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think I remember seeing like Stakeout there with Emilio Estevez and Richard Dreyfuss. And then I think another Stakeout, they added Rosie O'Donnell to the mix. And there was like a couple of movies that were like an old grumpy actor paired with like a little kid. There was like Cop and a Half, which I think was Burt Reynolds and a kid. But then there was one where Nick Nolte, I think, was paired with like a little kid. And I can't remember what that one was called. But I think that I saw that at a drive-in. I remember going to see Godzilla, the like one with Matthew Broderick at the drive-in. I remember like being so excited, like Godzilla at the drive-in, like it just felt so sweet. And then the movie was kind of...
I don't think I ever saw it.
It was a little lame.
Yeah.
I remember seeing whatever the movie is where it's like Billy Crystal and that like tall basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
I think, right? Is that
what
a
movie
thing?
Is that?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
We should watch City Slickers.
Yeah. Again. Norman.
Norman.
Curly.
One movie from my childhood that I'm really excited for Lou to see, and I know that she will love it, but it's like we're probably a decade away from her watching it. And I also think it's going to just like scar her, is Black Beauty.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's just like, oh my God. It's so intense at times and so sad at times. Yeah. And like...
I don't know if I've ever seen all of it. Maybe we watched it in school. You know what movie I was thinking, like, I think had a big impact on our generation? Was My Girl.
Oh, man. Totally.
Because, like, it was, like,
also the
Home
Sandlot.
Alone.
Not as much, but also.
Right. I mean, Sandlot was, like, a different vibe. But, like, yeah. I think, like, we were sold Macaulay Culkin.
Yes.
We got Home Alone and Uncle Buck. And, like, it was, like, okay, this is, like, what? Like, he was, like, same thing with, like, Jim Carrey. Like, Jim Carrey had, like... Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber all came out in the same year. Like, that kind of thing, it just doesn't happen anymore. Yeah. Those all came out in the same year. And, like, all those were just, like, huge, you know, that year. Like, so it was, like, we got Macaulay Culkin, and it was, like, Home Alone was, like, a fucking juggernaut. Like, it, you know, like, that was, like, huge. Uncle Buck was pretty big, too, before that. And, like... Then we got, so then like, I think every kid saw My Girl. Mm-hmm. And My Girl was like so fucking intense for like a little kid to see. And then there was like The Good Son, which was like also pretty intense.
Never I
was, like,
saw that one.
It was like more, that was like more of a horror movie. So it was like a different vibe, but I can remember seeing that. But I think more people saw My Girl.
Was her name Veda?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't remember the actress's name, but she was in Veep. Anna Klumsky.
Anna, yeah.
Something like that.
Anna something.
Yeah.
Yeah. We never did finish Veep.
No, we probably got a season and a half or something left, I think. It was a great show, though. It was just, like, so, like, fast-paced, you know? Uh-huh. You had to kind of be, like, you had to...
Watch it.
Focus, yeah.
Yeah. This has been delightful.
It's nice to do this again. It's been a long time.
It is. And, hopefully...
I mean, it's, you know...
It's received.
Doing anything in this setting is always kind of nice, too.
That's the thing. Oh, it's the neighbors. They're loud.
Is that sex?
No.
What is that?
Is that?
Is that a bear?
I don't know.
What the fuck is that?
I don't hear it anymore.
It's a crazy sound.
I don't know what that was.
It might be sex. I hope it is and not a bear.
It's not going to be a bear.
No.
I'm not scared of a bear coming here.
I just mean... Like, not from a scared standpoint, but it's just kind of, it's more fun if it's like the neighbors.
Yeah.
Boning down.
I don't hear it anymore, though.
Well, maybe we shame them. Maybe they heard us.
I hope not. Go for it if you hear us.
I can hear it again. Singing or something?
Anyways.
Somebody practicing the cello?
I don't know what it is. I remember when we had our neighbors, Job and Jess, and Jess was like a musician and she would practice the cello.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was nice. That was cool. I can't imagine the opposite of like someone like wanting to learn trumpet or something that lives above you. It's like, oh, way back.
Yeah, it's a little rough. I mean, we had our other neighbor like playing bass and singing there that one day.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Singing or talking.
No, there's no way. That's just singing. That's just talking. That's like, that's got a hook to it.
Is that somebody singing?
Is it Toni Braxton?
I don't know. Anyways, let's move on.
No, I mean, is it like, not her personally.
No, I know that. Her music. Obviously not her person. Ooh, no.
It is.
Actually, Spank Make Material, that video was so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was.
So, like, everything about it, her, the guys in the elevator, her girlfriends.
What's it called? You're Making Me High?
Yes.
Yeah.
The song.
Oh, I wish we had...
I wish we had internet so we could look it up and watch it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was... I remember the D'Angelo one. That was like... I mean, that's a complicated one because he was like... He was bothered by it because it like... took him off track of like being respected as an artist because he just became like a piece of meat. But...
I just... love the premise of it so much.
Of the D'Angelo video?
No, of
the Toni Braxton
video.
Okay. I can't remember that one as well.
It's like these men coming up in the elevator and these like I think four women and they're like, ooh, and like the
doors
open and then there'd be one that's like bye.
Yeah, that's fun.
So fun.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame. We'll have to try to remember to watch it. We'll watch it with Lou when we get back to Winnipeg. Yeah. Music videos were another like big thing, like along with magazines. Like, I feel like both had kind of, they like sort of like acclimated our brains for like a certain amount of like abstraction, you know, like that, like maybe different generations didn't have as much. Like we sort of have like had a comfort with like, sort of like time jumps and like weirdness and stuff like that, that I think reflected itself in kind of the like independent cinema that would like come out for our generation and stuff. Whereas like, I think like things that would make our parents be like, what? Like what is going on is weird. Like we were just like, we sort of had the vocabulary for it to some degree.
We had a real like gradual introduction into the world of the internet and all that and that stuff.
That's true too. Yeah.
Whereas now, like it's just people and kids, like it's just inundated with like wildness and just so much technology.
Yeah. It's just a part of your reality from the jump. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And like, I like how we had it.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to sort of like adapt to it a little slower.
Yeah. Like remembering times when it's like, no, I did not have a cell phone for a long, long, long time. And
would we, I feel like we're
kind of. You finished that glass of wine. Whoa. <I don't know. laughs> Holy moly.
So we gotta. I feel like we're in like bring it home territory here. Like, what do we got? Do we got a topic or something? Do you got something like anything? Anything you thought of over these 3 months?
I mean, I thought about everything, but there's. I don't know.
Have you had any reflections on the podcast itself in that time, or have you thought about it at all? Really,
I have. It's not. No.
No.
No. I've like thought about it just in the sense of like, oh yeah, we'll do that again, but.
Kind of me too. Kind of me too. Stopped. Other than like a couple, you know, a little while ago when I decided I'll listen to that episode. Oh, there was one thing that like, you know, like I can remember one thing, like a joke in early episodes, just that there was always going to be a Chad feels need to clarify something that like yeah. made it come off wrong. And there was like one thing in that one where I was talking about like how a class I really liked in university was my critical theory class. And like the examples of like kind of the different things you would get into. I was like, oh, like deconstructionism or feminism. And then shortly after that, I say like, I'm like, ah, you know, like I'm glad I took that class, but some of that stuff like just feels a little bit like eye rolly to me now. And like, that made me feel a little weird that I was like, that somebody would like hear that and think I was saying like feminism is eye rolly to me or something, you know? But then so I was like, oh, like, yeah, maybe if we like record another podcast, I'll clarify that. But then I was like, you know what? If anybody's going to like listen to that and make that leap and think that that's what I meant, like they're a fucking dork. And I don't really care. like clearly that wasn't what I was saying in that moment. And like the fact that I would like even have a bit of a sort of little flare up, like where I was like, oh, I should like clarify that that's not what I meant. Like
there's too many dorks.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you're a liar. I don't
mean that to be an inflammatory like statement, but like,
but it's
you
it's,
know what we mean.
You're a liar. That's what it is. You're a liar. You're being dishonest. You don't actually think that. And you're, yeah. And I don't think anybody listening to that is that person. But if they are, like, then don't listen. Fuck off. I don't care. I don't really like, you suck. Fuck off. So I don't care. And I'm not going to clarify that. So
I mean, you kind of did, though.
I guess I kind of did, but going forward, I'm not going to clarify those like things.
Those things. Okay. That's the statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was honestly, I was like starting to lose a bit of steam with it towards the end because things in our life just felt like they're getting quite heavy. And it seemed to be taking like a downward, like there's so often where if I was like, oh man, like. You know, and I didn't want that.
I think
so. That's sort of like why I kind of like I pushed it to the back of my mind. But like now coming back, I feel like all right.
Well, also as the weather turns colder, it seems a little more like there's a little more reason for it. You know, like yeah. The summer is like, you know, it's not.
There's more weird sounds.
Yeah. There's less reason to be like. Doing this kind of thing or something. Yeah. I don't know. But
and now we'll like get back into like the coziness of it. Mm-hmm. You know, sitting, candles, like those nice things.
Right.
It just makes it feel like
I think one thing too that I was like podcasting. Noticing in kind of like those last few episodes is we would take too long to kind of get into it. Like we would like
yeah.
And I'm willing to bet like the average person is like not going to like give it that much of a shot. No. Or we would take too much time with like the just slow like getting you know
because
like,
we weren't I don't think we were really like we were just gradually becoming less and less
but then do it. There was like I feel like there was some good stuff and which is a shame because I'm worried that like some people just couldn't get through the first half hour and then I feel like we hit on some good things but they were buried a little later in the episode
and now we'll
so I think we just need to like consciously like dive into things a little quicker a little less like so anyways, I'm having a drink and, you know, like that kind of stuff and just actually start, like, talking about some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty happy with our comeback.
Thanks for listening if you made it this far.
Yeah. I hope you are, too.
We'll make a price for the mic again. All right. I remember that part of the whole thing.
$500.
Okay, there we go. That's, like, it's a good reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope you're all doing well. You hope you had a great summer. And
I think like maybe we can make a little goal of doing 2 a month.
Sure. Oh, and here's the thing. We got ourselves a new memory card, so we can actually try to, like, we've been talking about it for a long time of getting guests on here.
Yes.
We have, we have both we have another mic that we can also hook. Well, we have a couple different mics that we can hook up if we had, like, people over, or we can try to figure out the Zoom thing. But now we've got, you know, whereas before we'd always be kind of, like, looking at the clock as far as how much time we got. Like, we've got 90 hours of recording now, so we're all good.
Yeah, so we will actually start bringing on some guests soon, and we will get this going.
Yeah. Reach out to Kanye this week and see if we can get him on here.
Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
And then we'll do it via Zoom, and then we'll all smoke a joint together.
Except for me.
No, you'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
He'll have some sort of pull. Anyways.
Okay.
This was nice.
I gotta pee.
Glad we did it. I gotta pee as well. Good night.
Bye-bye. All I really want is